Get out the insurance cards, get out the copays. The office is open, my friends, as this video is brought to you by DrRoto.com.
Good morning, my friends. It is yet time for another week of In the Cup PGA DFS brought to you by DrRoto.com. It is I, Johnny Danger, with my friend Adam White. Sir, you look fabulous today.
Howdy ho. Well, thank you, sir. I need that confidence boost to start the day.
Love it. You know what was not confident? All of our fades last week, absolutely crushing.
We had a couple.
Hey, look, I doubled up yet again. I'm on a 3-week streak of double up every single week. So my lineup was fine, but we were like, Jake Knapp, nah, he's going to be hung over from his win. Oh, third place. Yeah. And several
didn't
other
mention Ekro. Ekro was the dude I was.
No. I mentioned Ekro and you said, meh.
Didn't even. Whatever. It was. We're moving on. We're moving forward.
2 weeks in a row, we mad the winner. But you know what? Our picks are still hitting top 15s. So we haven't hit the winner, but damn it, man, we've been putting up scores.
I'm not trying to jinx it, but every week our values crush. Sam Ryder last week.
Yes.
We talked about Ryder as a sub 6K guy, and he blew up. He finished top. I think he finished top 10, but he had a heck of a week.
We did that.
So, you know, it wasn't all bad, Danger. Just look at the value picks.
It was totally
look
fine.
At the value picks. If we met a guy, then just play him because he's going to win.
Look, KH Lee, baby, tied fourth. That was my pick of the week.
KH Lee as well, man. Like I said, it wasn't all bad.
You told me that I was going to regret playing Thomas Detry. You were correct. I regret it.
Did you see what happened, what he did?
No.
He like 8-putted from 5 feet.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. Yeah.
Okay. That was him just scraping it back and forth.
Well, you know what? It's better than the week before where that dumbass DQ'd himself.
That is true. He looked like, that reminded me of Ernie Els in the third hole at the Masters years ago.
Right.
Like, I don't know how to get a ball started online. I just can't do it. I'm a world-class player, but I can't do it. I quit. And Detry was just like, I'm done. Like it was right there with.
I was Phil ready for him to get on the ground and use it like a pool stick or something, you know?
It was coming. It was right there with Phil and Daly, like hitting the ball while it was still moving on the green. But
all right. Well, I've won 3 in a row, my friend. So let's win some more. Let's talk about the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Give me the course breakdown. Give me the tournament history. What do we got?
Let's do it. We are at Bay Hill, which is kind of a stinky, weird course, but we do have a lot of course history correlations. So at least we got that going for us, which is nice. 4 par fives at the par 72, just under 7,500 yards. They are in the Orlando, Florida area. So, excuse me, not quite at sea level, but very close to it. The course is usually very difficult. So it's ranked top 10 on tour as far as difficulty the last 5 years, including 1 year in 2020 where it got completely baked out and just was absurdly difficult. So we're not expecting the winning score to be very low, probably somewhere in the 10 under range is a good projection, maybe 12 if it's a little bit softer and the wind doesn't blow. But we have a lot of water hazards. Fairway width is not particularly wide. We're at 31 yards or so. So we're going to look at some off the tee stats. Greens are pretty large. And we're looking at a few pretty key stat categories. Interesting thing about the week, it's very much like a few weeks ago where we have 69 golfers in the field. It's going to go to the top 50 in ties after the first two rounds. So that is something to note. Maybe you can be a little more aggressive, take some risks on boom or bust plays that you wouldn't normally do. There's a lot of approach shots that are going to be hit from that 200 range relative to most courses on tour. So I think it gives us a pretty good idea what to look for.
I like it, man. Well, let's get it kicked off. We talk DraftKings pricing here. If you have FanDuel questions, I don't even know. Do they play on FanDuel? I don't even know, man. I just play DraftKings.
We're DraftKings, but real quick, shout out to the King. This is Arnold Palmer's tournament. He was a legend, and have yourself a little iced tea lemonade 50-50 mix this week, or 60-40, so however you want to do it.
All day.
Have yourself an Arnold Palmer in honor of the King.
All day, every day. Twisted tea count?
Sure.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm in then. All right, let's start right at the top, my friend. We have got a couple world-class names right at the top in the 10K range and above. We've got Scottie Scheffler. We got Rory McIlroy. We got Patrick Cantlay. Obviously, Scheffler, number one player, and very expensive. But I don't mind it. We're back here again at a guy projected a good 10 to 12% higher points than anyone else in the field. Typically, we fade. We played Rory last week. It was fine, but it didn't really pay off. I don't know about you, but I think if I'm playing a 10K guy, I'm going ownership fade, and I'm going to Patrick Cantlay over Rory or Scotty.
All right, good. I'm glad we're different right away, because usually when we're in lockstep, it doesn't work out well. I'm actually going straight from the top down to the 9K range. So I am going to be playing Scotty. I play three lineups each week, not into the 150 entry max. That is just too much for my brain to comprehend. So Scotty will be in at least one, if not two, of my lineups to make sure I'm overweight on him. But Rory, just his iron play last week, I actually got a chance to watch quite a bit of that tournament. Very lackluster. That's a hard thing to get sort of fixed or turn around in 1 week. Just not there. And Cantlay's irons, although he played well in his last event at the Genesis, his iron play has not been consistent this year. He's not been the Patrick Cantlay we're used to seeing. So I'm actually fading him as well up there at 10K. And I'm going to Hovland as my second guy. So Scotty, play him all day long. His stats, like you said, you can't not project him to be the top player in the field. It's hard to shy away from. But from there, I'm going down to sub 10K right there at Victor.
Yeah, and I like Victor. But we weren't talking about below 10K. We were talking about playing 10K. Got him. Stay with me now.
Well, we only got three players up there this week. So plant your flag on Scotty and work your way down.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah, I like Scotty. I only play one lineup. You know this. I'm a single bullet kind of guy. So when I do that, I tend to fade the top ownership guy. So even though I like Scotty, probably not in my single lineup. Let's go down to that 9K. How about that? You already said you like Victor Hovland. The guy that I like the most in this entire area, and he spikes up in my leverage in my simulation models, is Max Homa, man. I think I got to lock him in as my 9K guy.
Okay. I was looking at him, too, because he does have good course history. And again, this is the third highest correlation for course history to success behind Augusta and Riviera. So there is reason to play guys with good course history. He had a decent finish in his last event at 16th, but he is actually a guy that I will be personally fading.
I like it.
I am going to eat a little bit of chalk here in the 9K range, and I'm going to go to Sam Burns. Sam Burns is the next guy I like in that 9K range. Quick note, though, depending on ownership, I'm going to take a look. Ludvig is like, I don't know. I think he's going to be up there with the top three or four guys in these top field events here pretty soon, because he's a performer, man. He's legit. So
I can see that. So, hey, real quick, there is a minor weather concern for Friday afternoon. Winds picking way up, temperatures dropping. So is there any legit reason to maybe play afternoon guys heavier in our lineup that start, because they'll play the morning the next day?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's one thing I wanted to mention. That note kind of came across this morning. And if it's going to be blowing, there's a lot of water hazards out there. These greens are very difficult. You could see some guys really eject from this event in the afternoon on Friday. So these are the kind of weather splits. I normally don't overthink like rain and 15-mile-an-hour, 20-mile-an-hour winds. Doesn't really mean much to me. But when it's supposed to gust and a storm's coming through, we just got to hope if we play the PM-AM split, you just got to hope that these guys don't get stormed off the course and come back out Saturday morning or something with calm conditions and wet greens.
Right. But it's happened to us before.
Right. Find your guys you like. Check the tee times on pjtour.com and get the guys to tee off in the PM on Thursday, AM, Friday. That's definitely something I'll be looking at, because there could be a one or two stroke average difference between those two.
I like him. All right. Another guy that pops up in my personal model, Colin Morikawa at 91. He's $100 cheaper than Homa. I've got them projected kind of the same price point, just kind of more leverage with Homa, because he'll be like the first guy in the top set under 12 to 15% owned.
All right. Yeah. I can't do it myself. He didn't play here 2 years ago, 3 years ago. He had a decent finish the year before that at ninth. Okay, that's a pretty good finish. Missed the cut last year. But he just hasn't shown – he hasn't shown much of anything so far this season as far as consistency. Round to round, his irons haven't been to the level we expect. So I'm not personally on him. I do think it might be the week where we play JT. I think his price is depressed because of his poor performance in his last event. Ownership could be depressed. I'm kind of thinking about JT here.
Really? He's done nothing but burn me this year. And I still have him hovering in that like 14% ownership range. So I don't know if that ownership is depressed enough for me to let him burn me again.
Yeah, that's the hard part. These guys up top, they're all going to take, you know, have some ownership because there just aren't that many players in the field.
Sure.
So I think the key this week is going to be differentiating down, you know, obviously play the players that play well, but differentiate down below if you're looking at this from an ownership strategy standpoint. So guys in the 8K, 7K range is where I'm looking to try and find some nice pivot plays.
Yeah, I find myself really like paying up this week, so I think you're going to see some stars and scrubs out of me. So the 8K range might be a total fade because I am in love with some 7K players.
Yeah, I don't think you're alone either. Like, if Scotty Scheffler is the highest projected player, anything above 9K, you're going to have to find. You're going to see a lot of lineups that are constructed that way. So, you know, that could lead to more of a balanced lineup, differentiating quite a bit. Maybe that's where you go.
Yeah, and if I'm going to start with Cantlay for a little bit of savings, I might be able to pay off some of the value, pay up from some of the value everybody's going to. Let's just go right to that because I have a question. In all the models and all the ownership, the guy that just popping up, Minwoo Lee. Why?
Popping. I love Minwoo. He's the dude who can he made a pretty good charge last week, hit some great putts on the stretch, just couldn't quite get it done on Monday. Couldn't get those putts to drop. But Minwoo is a world-class player. I love playing him when his price is not too high because I think – he's the guy that's probably going to get on a roll here, and his price is going to skyrocket. Minwoo is definitely a guy
He's at 6,600. Between my two projections for ownership, one has him at like the fifth highest owned, the other one the second highest owned. Here's the biggest problem. You pair Scotty with Minwoo to start, and then you have like basically 8K even for each of the next four players. And I think that's going to be crazy popular. Now, I can do that in like a cash tournament. I can do that in a smaller field. But I don't know that if I can play the chalk duo in a, 11-3 and a 6-6 guy together. Are you still, like, the one projection I have, man, has Minwoo up pushing 30%.
I believe it. I think because the tournament finished on Monday, DraftKings didn't factor in his finish into the algorithm or something because 6,600 makes no sense.
Just a free square you just take? And
No, I don't think you should ever think of a guy who can be erratic off the tee on a course with this many hazards and also not finishing in the top 100 the last 2 years as a free square. So I'm personally not going to be playing him. I love his upside most weeks. He contended at the Players last year, contended last week in Florida, both events in Florida, but just not at that ownership.
Sure. Leverage chart, man, I've got him as the second worst leverage play on the day, second only to EVR, who is still dead to me.
He's dead to you because you didn't play him last week.
Nah, won't do it. It's over.
I do think back when I was like, hey, who do you think I'm picking in the 7K range? And you're like, EVR? Are you going to go EVR? I was like, no, Lucas Glover, of course.
Right. And then you should have played EVR. Right?
EVR made so many birdies in Eagles last week.
Yeah. All right, so I got us off track. We were in the 8K range. So a couple of guys that pop up there. We've got Tommy Fleetwood is actually the highest projected guy I have in the 8 range. Cameron Young, I mean, I like Cam Young. I will tell you, he is the Tour Junkies chalk bomb of the week. If you read their free articles, I love them. Tour Junkies are great. What about Will Z? You've been high on him kind of this year. Are you still riding the Will Z train?
Yeah, I think until Will Z gets priced back up where he should be, I know he's going to be higher on this week. I'm still liking Will Z. I think he's sort of my pivot-ish off of Cameron Young, although I'm pretty sure he's going to be highly owned too. But I do like Will Z. I think he's got that kind of game that he can just give himself birdie chance after birdie chance, very realistically, even on these longer holes where he's got long mid to long irons in. Is Decky just going to go completely ignored here, Danger? Like,
let's see. I got him at 10% owned projecting on one spot. Let me look over here. I got him at 7% on the other. So kind of, yeah. I mean, yeah, the last time out, he won.
Last time out, he won. He finished just about 20th the week before that. He's got two top 20s here in the last 3 years. If he's just going to keep going low owned, like, I'm going to take my chances on that. Like we said, that boomer bust guy, it's only, you know, 20 players or so at most are going to get cut. So why not take a little chance?
I like it. And for the second time in this young season already, my model says it likes Justin Day. We didn't take it up on it last time. What about this time?
Jason, by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jason. My bad. I was reading two different things at once.
Justin Thomas, Jason Day. It's all good.
Yeah, I was just comparing them actually in the model. So
yeah, I hadn't given Day a ton of thought so far, but he's certainly a guy that has some course history, finished 10th last year. He's been looking pretty solid, two straight top tens coming in. Day's the guy that I could get on. I just think I'm sticking with Hideki there at 84. And then probably going down to the 7K range, because I think we have some really nice values there.
I don't know. Before we move on, I said I was going to fade the 8K range. But there is a player that's been pretty good lately that is the first guy salary down to dip below 10% ownership for me. And it's Russell Henley at 8,000 flat. Good leverage score, low ownership. Played pretty well recently. But I don't know about him on this course.
He's not the kind of guy that I'm necessarily looking at. I want guys that are a little bit longer, not necessarily because of the tee shots, but these greens can get very firm over the weekend. And if it blows and it doesn't rain a whole lot, these greens can get very firm. And then you need shorter clubs in, higher apex, softer landing shots with the irons. And he does not provide that. Now, he can get hot with a putter any week and sort of hang in there. But I want guys, especially if I'm looking at upper sevens to low eights in that price range, I want guys that I can see contending without having an outrageous putting week. And
I got you.
Just because of that, he's not a guy I'm looking at.
So my value play of the week is coming up in the 7K range, Adam, and I wore a clue today.
Can I see your shirt?
Nope.
Is that an R? Is it an A? What is that?
It's backwards to you, I'm sure, but it is an A. An A for Adam Scott today. He is my value play of the week. I'm locking him in. I'm starting every lineup with him, my one lineup with him. Adam Scott's my guy. He's at 7,500, but I've got him projected as the 15th highest score this week in the 7Ks, and I just can't get off it. I don't care what you're going to tell me about it. I'm not doing it. He's my lock. I put it on our core cheat sheet at droto.com. And I'm planting my flag. My flag is planted on Adam Scott.
Yeah, I honestly can't talk you off it. I think he gives you the upside we were talking about. As long as he doesn't putt like an idiot, he'll be in very good shape. Tee to green, I mean, there are very few players that are week in, week out better than he is. So I cannot talk you out of that one, even though I was hoping you'd say that A on your hat was for me. But it's
well, you know, I mean, it's Adam, right?
The other A will work, I guess.
Yeah. And the other A there, man, $100 more. I also am still going strong on Benny on.
Yeah, I think he's gonna garner a lot of ownership. And I don't know. It seems like when all signs point to him, he kind of flames out. And then when people get off him a little bit, he can kind of like last week, he had a very good week. So
it's true, but they just refuse to price him up.
I know that is the part where I would expect. Usually I like to scan the field and see what the prices look like and go, who just doesn't make any sense based on their recent form, their overall ability level. Yep. He is one of those guys, but I think with the ownership looking like he's in the 15% range, like we said, if you're going Scotty and let's say, I don't know, some other high-owned guy, Cam Young or somebody up there, you got to have lower ownership percentage down below.
It's true. And
with him, I just can't. I can't see piling on and get my ownership up towards like 70-80%.
However, as much as I like him, a guy I like even better. I told you I like the 7K range, so I'm just going to monopolize this discussion in this area. Keegan Bradley, man, that's my guy. It seems that everybody on our core sheet at Dr. Roto likes him too. Does that scare you off when like four out of five of us are on him?
I didn't know that until this very moment. I haven't still find out yet. It does a little bit because it probably means he's going to be very highly owned. And this goes against what I just said about Benny on. But Keegan was a guy that I right away looked at and went, yeah, this course makes a ton of sense for him. He's been playing decent. You know, his last finish isn't going to get anybody super excited, but he still showed some form this year. So, yeah, that's a guy that I'm on. And then, you know, just below that, you got Kitayama, the defending champ.
Mm-hmm. I got him at not a very good leverage score, but under 10% owned for defending champ. I've got your guy, Nikolai, also under like 7% owned, like maybe even 5% owned. I just love the 7K range, man. I think I can stick four guys in here and play, you know, double 10K guys.
Yeah, you certainly could. I brought this guy up for Kitayama. He got excited.
Yeah.
The guy that I actually love maybe the most in the 7K range, believe it or not, I'm not on Højgaard. Just too erratic off the tee for me lately. I think he could eject and miss the cut, be one of those 20 guys or so. Mm-hmm. But loving me some Harry English, bro.
All right.
Loving some Harry. He's come on strong recently. 17th and a 7th in his last two events. Finished second here last year. Iron play is looking great. He is absolutely flushing the ball with the irons. Yeah, I can't get away from him, man. He's going to be in all three of my lineups, I think.
All right, so fade Harris English. Let me write that down real quick. All right, good. All right, done. who else we got in that 7K range? I think, you know, there's a couple interesting names just to chat about. It burned me last week fading Jake Knapp, but I think I got to fade him again. I think it's more likely than not. A fade. Shane Lowry always seems to just kind of hang around in these kind of contests.
He does, but no.
Like win equity, maybe not, but like, you know, hang around, maybe.
He had his chance last week. It's a course he plays all the time. He's contended there in the past, but not on Shane this week.
When are we going to get that hot streak from Corey Connors? We keep talking about it every week. We haven't pulled the trigger yet.
He's just so bad at putting. Like, it's rare that a guy is so terrible that I look at him and have to like reconsider, even though he's an elite ball striker, like an absolutely elite ball striker. Mm-hmm. But these greens do sort of lend themselves a little bit to more of the mediocre to not as good putters. He's got good course history too, man. I think he's a worthwhile play. The other guys we haven't mentioned, let's just assume they're fades and like Harmon Kim.
Right.
Kirk posting these dudes. Pavan, though, like he's impressed me too, but I'm with no course history at all. I'm not going there.
And I don't know.
Might be a guy I get on later in the week once ownership is a little more tightened up.
Yeah, I dig it. All right, let's keep going. We're running out of time here. So last week, not playing Ekrot screwed us, of course. Still doubled up. It was fine. I just didn't have any of the, you know, I didn't have any win equity with him. We've had a couple of back-to-back weeks with the young studs winning. Who's going to put it up in the 6K range this week, bud?
All right. Well, this is where we have thrived. Now, I do like Ekrot, believe it or not, to go not necessarily back-to-back wins, but back-to-back good performances. Okay. Maybe it's recency bias with, you know, first-time winner Jake Knapp coming out strong last week and finishing top five. Mm-hmm. But Ekrot is the guy. Last summer, we kind of saw it. He's, I don't want to call him streaky, but when he gets on a roll, he's gonna ride that momentum. I do like him to continue to play well this week. Outside of him, honestly,
Sepp Straka is dead to me now. He's my new dead to me guy.
Well, you can have multiple guys that are dead to you.
Yeah, he's my newest guy. What about going back to Sammy Valimaki? Down at 62, almost bare minimum, and he's played well.
Yeah, I am not on Valimaki. Really, the guys that I'm interested in.
If you see, if you say CT Span, I'm driving over there to smack you.
Why would you smack me for that?
CT Pan, man, you're going to say it. You always say it when he's in the field.
That's not true. He was in the field last week, and I thought about him and didn't say it. I do like him, though. But no, it's my boy EVR with the killer stash. And it's Ekro. Like, I'm not going to play a lot of guys down here at 6K. I'm probably going to choose one or the other with those two and keep it in the 7K range because there's – when you look at the 7K range, there's so much fat. Like, would you be surprised if you saw Kitayama or Harris English or Keegan at the end of the week, Adam Scott up there in the top 10?
I mean, Harris English, yes, because you gave him such a good endorsement.
Do you remember a few weeks ago when we bet him? Well, I recommended betting him for a top five. I was like, get crazy. Yes. Let's get crazy. And he finished one stroke out of a top five. But still, he so still made me look good for like 70.
You don't need any help looking good, buddy. You're a good looking man.
Oh, thank you. But yeah, not super interested in the sub 7K range here.
Fair enough.
There's all no right. sub 6K values because of the size of the field. So let's just keep it low to mid 7Ks and go from there.
All right, give me your favorite couple of top 10 bets, man. You did you look at those yet?
Oh yeah, always sort of scouring the interwebs to see what bets stand out to me. The bet that I've made so far is a Justin Thomas top five.
Okay, you know I'm putting down Adam Scott top 10, right? You know that it's happening.
Yeah, I love Adam Scott top 10.
Yeah,
that's great.
That's my guy. Planting my flag.
I like putting together some long shot. It feels like a lottery ticket, but I like putting together.
Yeah, but they've hit like three times this year, like over like 100-1 odd wins.
That's the thing. Yeah. This year, like with Pavon, with Ekrot, with these dudes that are super big long shots, we'll start with a few that I like Justin Thomas, 5.5-1 for a top five. I'll take that. He can do that any week that he plays well. Harris English, you get him at 10-1. For a top five, I don't love that as much, but this also shows you why he's such a good value on DraftKings. He's only 50-1.
What are my odds on Scott? You got to tell me my odds on Scott.
Adam Scott's right there. He's at 9-1 for a top five, 50-1 to win, 4-1 for a top 10.
Ooh, 50-1 to win. I'm dropping that buck right there, buddy.
Yeah.
50-1 to win.
Now, the long shot guys in this field, it's a lot less likely because of how good the top of the board is. So it's very difficult to see one of these like super long shots winning, but could Ricky put it together for a full week? He's at 110-1. He showed some signs last week. I know he's
7,100, man. Can I tell you, I love my leverage model, right? It's got Ricky number two on the board. Homa number one, Ricky number two.
I don't hate Ricky. I'm warming to Ricky. He showed some signs last week and then kind of faltered over the weekend, but, I could see that. Luke List, 90-1. Okay. Forgive and forget.
Nope.
Not gonna ask.
No List for me this week.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, it gets a little thin towards the bottom of the board with these guys.
I like that 50-1, Adam Scott. I'm gonna drop that in.
Hit it for a 50. Why not? You got a feeling on a guy, go for it. But
that's right.
Defending champ Kurt Kitayama has a little form, 70-1, 12-1 for a top five. Like,
all right, 12-1 top five is pretty nice for the defending champ.
If you're gonna get like super good value out of it, just bet Scotty to win, and then whoever you like as a top five or a top 10 bet, and just parlay him.
Dig it.
Yeah,
absolutely dig it. All right, it's time. Give me your top end. High-priced guy that you're going with this week.
So we talked about it a little bit here at the very top end. Obviously, Scotty's going to play well. I think this is the week where, after being sort of under the radar, not playing as well this year, Victor is going to pop up and contend. I think he's going to have a very good chance of being, I don't want to say first-round leader, but being right at the top of the board from the very start and just riding that form the whole week.
All right, I'm going with Cantlay. You know it. I'm not letting you talk me off of it.
Can't play.
I'm gonna. That's a fact. You already know that. Usually we kind of go in that like 8K range for this, but I just don't like him as much. So Adam Scott. I mean, I'm gonna be boring and just take my flag plant for my mid range guy.
You wore your A hat.
I did. I wore the A hat. Brought the A game. I wore the A hat.
Very good. You know what? I'm going to go down to the 7K range too. Since the 8K range is sort of lackluster, I will go all the way down. I'm not going to go Keegan because everyone's on Keegan. I got to go with my boy Harris English, 7,300.
I like it. And I am going to go back to back, a good showing from Ekrot for my value today.
Yeah. It almost does feel like he's a free square. You look at Minwoo Lee, like Ekrot, the way he drove the ball last week, I think he's a much, if you want to call it a safer bet. Mm-hmm. He's there, although he has no course history. Minwoo's finished outside of the top 100 in his two events.
Yeah,
he won't do that again with only 69 players in the field, but still not very good course history. I'm going to go with a guy that I know is dead to you. He doesn't have good course history here, but I'm still going to go with it. Let's go with EVR, buddy. The stash.
All right. Absolutely dig it. Well, I appreciate it, sir. I am getting excited for next week. We're starting our own private little 15-week championship with some friends. It's going to be awesome. We're going to kick it off with the first, major-esque of the year. So stay tuned next week. It's going to be a fun show. Make sure you're going to drrota.com. Alicia Hunt's got a weekly article out there. We've got a weekly cheat sheet with four or five of us dropping our favorite picks. If you're not checking out drrota.com, you're not winning money. Well, maybe you're winning money, but you could win more with us. So I appreciate it, Adam. And you know what, buddy? I'm going to see you next week. We're going to be there.
In person?
Sure, why not? Let's do that.
We're hanging out. Let's hang out.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Be good, buddy.
Thanks for stopping by the office. Get your fantasy prescription by subscribing to the channel and checking out drrodo.com. And until the next visit, be well and take care.